Now, a very interesting mechanism by which the T cytotoxic, the lymphocyte cytotoxic, can kill, for instance, a cancer cell. You know that, I don't know if you know, but probably in our body, almost every day, are due to external factor, due to degradation of DNA, whatever, they are cancer cell produced. So we are producing cancer cell very frequently, almost every day. However, unfortunately, we have a system to destroy the cancer cell. Otherwise, you know what may happen. So this is one example. One example is that the cancer cell is recognized by the cytotoxic lymphocyte via different sensor, but essentially via the T-cell receptor and the major histocompatibility complex. So it's recognized as a cell which has to be destroyed. And the cytotoxic lymphocytes, and also the natural killer, have inside small vesicles which contain the so-called perforin. I have told you before, perforin. What is perforin? Perforin is a complex of proteins which, once they are released by the cytotoxic lymphocyte and also by the natural killer, they form an aggregate. So you see the second part of the mechanism. Perforin monomers, pieces of perforin, in the presence of calcium, are polymerizing, are aggregating. You see, here is one alone, enter the membrane of the target cells, of the cell which has to be destroyed, enter the membrane, aggregate, and form a hole. So these are really bullets which enter in the membrane and make a hole in the membrane of the cell which has been destroyed. So again, we have a cancer cell, or maybe a cell which has been infected by a virus. So we have a cell which is infected and has to be destroyed. The cell is showing to the T lymphocyte, to the cytotoxic lymphocyte, a portion of antigen, a portion of something which helps the recognition. The T lymphocyte, the cytotoxic lymphocyte, is attaching the target cell and is releasing upon attachment, upon recognition, it is releasing perforin components. The perforin components, released as monomer in the presence of calcium, enter the cell membrane of the target cells, polymerize, see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, they make a hole in the cell, and at this point the cell is destroyed. And there are beautiful pictures of how this takes place. So here is a target cell, for instance, a cancer cell, and here is the cytotoxic lymphocyte. You see, usually lymphocytes have a lot of pseudopodia, of podia which came out and helped the T cell to touch, to have the cell-cell contact. So the T cell cytotoxic has recognized a cell which has been infected or is a cancer cell, release of perforin, and this is the polymer of perforin. You see what kind of hole. And at this point, the cell is killed because everything is coming out of the cell, the cytoplasma. There are many holes usually, and that's finished. The cell has been destroyed. But the mechanism, or one of the mechanisms, is made first recognition, contact between the two, or first contact, then recognition, release of perforin, polymerization of perforin, insertion of the perforin in the membrane of the target cells, and destruction of the target cell. So this process may happen daily in our body. That's another example, a completely different picture. The other one was a scanning electron microscope. This is a thin layer microscopy. We have the target cell, the cell which has been infected, which is recognized by a T cytotoxic. You see the kind of attachment is very, very strong. I was telling all the time, more or less it's a continued repetition of what I am saying now since 2 days or 2 hours, but it's going, each step is a little bit deeper in the subject. So you see that how the antigen is processed. The antigen is recognized by the antigen presenting cell, which usually, I said already many times, is a macrophage. It's chopped down because the antigen as such is too big. It's chopped down in pieces. If it's a protein, it's chopped down in peptides. If it's a polysaccharide, it's chopped down in pieces of sugar. And then is attached to the major histocompatibility complex, which is on the surface of the antigen-presenting cell. And then this point is presented to the T lymphocyte. So this is perhaps a little bit more in detail how the system works that's going on. We have different mechanisms how the system works. This is a cytotoxic lymphocyte, which is recognize an infected cells via the major histocompatibility complex. Now, to make the story more complicated, because nature is complicated, there is a class 1 and a class 2, which I'm not now going to discuss in detail. But the infected cell has species of the infection of the virus, for instance, is recognized by the cytotoxic lymphocyte, and in this way there are chemicals, not necessarily only perforin, but also other toxic material which is going to kill the infected cell. In the case of a helper lymphocyte, so the cytotoxic is destroying the infected cell. The helper has to do something else. So we have the antigen-presenting cell, which is not an infected cell. Is a macrophage which has recognized the antigen, chopped down the antigen, and is presenting now the antigen to the T helper, and the T helper is producing lymphokines which are going to activate the immune system. So you have two essentially different mechanisms. One is the activation of the cytotoxic lymphocytes, which is going to destroy the infected cell, and the other mechanism is the activation of a helper lymphocyte, T helper, which is going to produce lymphokines which are going to regulate the immune response. Here you have more or less, now let's play a little bit with the B lymphocyte. So we have an antigen which is recognized by the antigen presenting cell, is chopped down, is presented to the T lymphocyte, that was we have seen just before. The T lymphocyte itself is activated other T lymphocytes, is sending signal to the other T lymphocyte, is calling his brother or its brother lymphocytes. The lymphocytes activated are producing lymphokines, which also activate the B lymphocyte. The B lymphocyte itself has also recognized the antigen, but that's not enough. You need the lymphokines, and then the B cell is going to be activated, for plasma cell becomes much bigger and is producing antibodies. As you see, the B lymphocyte has antibody molecules on the surface. We can recognize the antigen, is activated, but in order to have a perfect activation, you need the lymphokine which help to activate the T lymphocyte, and then the B lymphocyte starts to divide and produce antibodies. Now this cartoon is more or less summarizing most of the specific immune system. We have first an antigen, second recognition of the antigen by the antigen presenting cell, third presenting the antigen via the major histocompatibility complex to the T lymphocyte, which has another receptor. The T lymphocyte is producing lymphokines, and the lymphokines are recognized by the B lymphocytes, which by itself has the receptor, which are the antibody molecules. The B lymphocyte also recognizes the antigen, but it's not enough. together with the lymphocytes, is activated, starts to divide and produce antibody. So this cartoon, if this is, I hope, a little bit clear, is summarizing most of the most important events during the specific immune response, which involves the antigen presenting cells, mainly a macrophage, maybe another cell, the T lymphocyte and the B lymphocyte, and we have the lymphokines and we have the antibodies, which then of course recognize the antigen, which then may be destroyed in several mechanisms as we have discussed so far. The antigen by such can be recognized by the B lymphocyte we have just seen, and can activate the B cell and activate the lymphocyte. In certain cases, the antigen can activate the B lymphocyte without the lymphokine, without the cytokines, and this is a simple way by which the B lymphocyte can be activated. So sometime, depending on the quality of the antigens, so there are antigens which are really by themselves activating the B lymphocyte, and some other they are not activating the B lymphocyte, depends on the structure. And here we have an example how an antigen can activate the B lymphocyte. It's recognized by the B cells. The B cells start to divide and is producing antibodies. Okay. I don't want to make you crazy, and I don't want to run crazy, but this is just trying to show you the interaction between antigen presenting and T cell. I'm not going into the detail. We have seen this before. The story is becoming more and more complicated. You see how many structures are not required but are helping to activate the T cell via antigen presenting cell. The most important interaction is this one via the T cell receptor. But we have a CD28, CD2, interleukin, etc., etc. Again, cooperation in the antibody response. This is more or less a repetition. We have an antigen. The beginning of the story is always an antigen. An antigen is recognized by the B cell, is recognized by the antigen presenting cell. It activates the antigen presenting cell by direct contact, is activating the T helper. The T helper by themselves are activating the B lymphocyte. The B lymphocytes start to divide, and we have a so-called differentiation process, a change of the shape and the function of the cell, and we have antibody forming cells, and we have the B memory cells. I told you that once you have got an infection or a vaccination for the first time, the second time there is a much stronger reaction. Why? Because this is the clonal selection, some of the B lymphocytes are stored in higher quantity at the beginning. At the beginning there is a small clone of 1,000 or 5,000 cells, but after the first infection we have a clone specific against such antigen, a clone of memory cell which is made of 10,000, a million of B lymphocytes which are ready for once you have the next infection. And then we have the antibody forming cell and the antigen presenting cells. You see? Simple. Now I hope that it is in some way clear how the system may work. B cell activation, it can be activated by the antigen presenting cell. Antigen, antibody as receptor, production of interleukin 1, activation of the B cell. At the same time, the T helper is activated. We have seen how, by the antigen presenting cell, production of several interleukins, activation of the B lymphocyte via interleukin. It's more or less a repetition of what I'm saying all the time. Activation, cell division, differentiation. Each time there is a cell which transforms from one status to another, resting lymphocyte, activated lymphocyte, we talk about cell differentiation. And this was one of the topics of the experiment in space, the investigation not only of the immune system, not only of the activation of T cells, but also differentiation processes. And in my opinion, the absence of gravity, we will see this later, the absence of gravity has a strong influence on differentiation processes. Intercellular signaling. I've told you before that the T cell receptor is recognizing the antigen-presenting cell, is also recognizing the interleukins, and there are a lot of changing phospholipase C, calcineurin, kinase cascades, activation of transcription factors. That's a little bit in more detail what we have seen a couple of minutes ago. So there is a cascade of signals which goes to the gene expression. This is how the T cells work. Recognition by different signals. We will see there are essentially three signals. Transmission of the signal in the cytoplasm. The signals is worked out by different systems. And finally, we have a gene activation. This is the process which many of us are trying to understand and understand why this process is disturbed in microgravity conditions. I have shown you before the interleukin 2 receptor, which plays an important role in our studies, is made up of three subunits, three components, alpha, beta, and gamma. And during activation of the lymphocyte, these are expressed. They are not there at the beginning. And this is a very important marker for us to understand how the activation takes place, but because it takes hours and days to have this production. And you see the amount of molecules which are present at the beginning and after the activation. So the subunit, the component alpha, at the beginning of the active, when the cell is not active, there are no alpha chain components, zero, no molecules. Beta, at the beginning of activation, there are about 500. The gamma chain at the beginning are about 5,000, and when the activation is maximum, we have about 50,000 alpha chain component, 50,000 per cell, about 10 times more beta, but at the same time of gamma. That is very important for us as markers because we can follow the activation by determining by biochemical methods the amount of alpha chain and beta chain and gamma chain. And as you see, gamma chain, this one, is not changing very much from the beginning to the maximum activation because it's there from the beginning. It's there from the beginning, that means it's constituent. It's there from the beginning, is not produced during the activation. It's there, period. Whereas alpha and beta are produced during the activation process. There are nothing alpha at the beginning. There are 50,000 per cell at maximum activation. There are only 500 at the beginning, and there are 5,000 at maximum activation. This is very important. This is the molecular weight. 55 kilodalton means the molecular weight. This is the smallest one. This is the largest one. And this is the middle one. That's not important. But what's important is the interleukin receptor is made by three components. The gamma is there from the beginning, is not changing during activation, whereas alpha and beta are almost nothing, alpha at the beginning, a little beta, and the maximum activation, there is a lot of production, 50,000, 5,000. The T-cell proliferation, we have just seen the B-cell, the T-cell proliferation, repetition of what we have seen, is resting, no infection, everything is okay. We have an infection, antigen-presenting cell. The T cell is activated. It starts to proliferate and make also memory cells. and is producing interleukin 2, 4, 7, and many other. And what is very important is the T cell itself is using interleukin 2 to activate itself and the other cells not active around there. So it's sending a so-called autocrine stimulation because it's activating also the other cells of the same kind. So if one T cell is activated via antigen-presenting cell, it becomes activated, and by sending signals to the other fellow T cells, it activates also the other T lymphocytes. So we have an enlargement, an increase of the activated cells, and then we have proliferation, and it's not shown here, but also production of memory cell, and we have a lot of activated cells which produce then a lot of interleukin. And of course, we have the cytotoxic, the helper, and the suppressor. I've shown you at the beginning the biological action of interleukin-6. We have interleukin-2, which is very important. Again, interleukin-2 is produced by T cells and can activate other T cells. It can activate the monocyte, that means the macrophages. It activates division, a mediator of generally T cells, not only the T helper, activates the B cells and the natural killer cells. So interleukin 2 is playing a major role in the activation of all the other cells of the immune system, I think. As I told you before, the antibody response during an infection has two phases. At the beginning, the antigen, let's say the influenza, the flu virus, enters in our body. There is a phase in which nothing happened, and then there is a rapid increase of the antibodies against, if everything works well, there is an increase of the amount of antibodies in time. So it takes about 6 days, four, five, 6 days. And then hopefully the infection is finished and there is a decline in time of the antibody. We cannot continue to produce antibody in our blood, otherwise our blood will become thick and full with antibody. So at a certain point, the production of antibody is finished. The infection has been fought, hopefully, and the excess of antibody are recycled, are destroyed by the system. That's the first primary antibody response. The secondary is, you see, in days. So we have an infection, day zero. After about a week, five, 6 days, there is an increase of immunoglobulin M. The immunoglobulin M, if you remember, is that the nice figure with five molecules, which is very active at the beginning. It has to be very active at the beginning of the infection. And then we have IgG production, and this is the primary response. The first time we get the infection or the vaccination. Vaccination is the same story. And then the amount of antibody is decreasing. However, if sometimes later we have a second infection, antigen challenge, you see that the response is much more rapid. Within 1 week, we have a much higher amount of IgG and we have a reasonable amount of IgM. So that's how the system works, how the immunological memory is working. We have more T cells and more B cells which are ready to fight infection and more powerful. Essentially, I've told you a lot about lymphocytes, chemokines, antigen-presenting cell, and so on. Essentially, to activate a T cell, we need three signals. And that's actually the signals we have investigated in our experiment. The first signal is provided by the antigen via major histocompatibility complex. That's what we have discussed so far. However, we are able to isolate T lymphocytes from the blood and make and simulate an infection in vitro. That's essentially the protocol of most of our experiment. We isolate the lymphocytes from the blood and we simulate an infection in vitro. And by doing that, we can use either an antibody against the T cell receptor, because the T cell receptor is made by a structure which contains a molecule called CD3. So if you take an antibody against CD3, you activate this signal, or you use concanavalin A, which, strangely enough, concanavalin A is extracted by certain plants. There are plants with Canalia ensiformis, a strange name, produces a protein which investigator by chance have discovered can activate B cell. And concanavalin A is actually the substance we used most of the time in our space experiment to activate the T cell. But the first signal is not sufficient. We need a contact, the so-called accessory cell, which usually is a macrophage or monocyte. The word monocyte is equivalent to macrophage, don't get confused, via an interaction called B7-C28. There is a contact between B7 and C28. This is the second signal. And then the cell becomes activated and is producing the receptor. I've just told you before, alpha, beta, and gamma unit. Gamma is there. Alpha, beta have to be produced. And we have an autocrine signal, the production of interleukin receptor and the recognition of interleukin-2. On this system, we have performed most of our space experiment and most of the study which will be presented in the next day. And I think the rest of the story you will tell you tomorrow.